This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And our first story comes courtesy of the Malaysian Insight, who spoke to experts suggesting that more children have been accessing pornography during the pandemic for a number of reasons, which is, of course, a cause for concern.
So according to the report, children as young as 7 years old have been visiting pornographic websites. And I think the reason for this may not be very mysterious, right? So experts are pointing out how lockdowns, the fact that children are spending more time at home and more time on the internet is basically causing this to happen. And it's a cause for concern because not just because of the act itself, but I think also the longer term impact of this on the child and of the behaviors and thinking that then materializes around the idea of sex. So social issues around sex education, how children relate to others, how they form relationships. As you said, Lynn, cause for concern.
So just to expand a little bit on the kinds of worrying behaviors that were cited in the report, right, in the article, I think there were worries around, for example, children expressing their curiosity by trying to look at family members in private moments, you know, things like that, and how that might translate into school, right? Because as we all, I think, I don't think I need to make a very strong, coherent argument here to say that pornography is not the guiding light for our social interactions in any way or form. And so because of that, with an early exposure, especially if it comes coupled with a lack of exposure to sex ed, right, or to open and honest conversations around sexuality and sex, I think all that can create a rather troubling environment for someone to form their earliest impressions of all of this from. Now, this is also not just, we can't talk about the kids without talking about everybody else, because, for example, Pornhub, their statistics in 2020, Malaysia ranked fourth in the world and first in Asia for the browsing rate for pornographic websites. You may remember, of course, that they're banned. And yet this does not appear to have, you know, made a dent. And last month, there was also the issue of children accessing sexual content on the internet raised in Parliament.
You used the word curious earlier, and I think that's actually significant because we're talking about children, and curiosity is actually a natural experience to go through. And I think the challenge here when it comes to the internet in particular is that you often find that young people are so much more able to find their way around it and to find content. But on the other hand, it's also the kind of space where policing or understanding what they're looking at where can be incredibly difficult. I mean, when we go back 10 or 20 years and you think about illicit books or magazines, this is that amplified by a million. And parents often are quite, I think, unaware or even unable to keep an eye on what they might be accessing online.
You know what I was thinking of? Do you remember the story from a couple of days ago about that father in Singapore who found out that his child, his 18-year-old child, had spent like 20,000 Singapore dollars online, basically. And I think that speaks to what we're talking about here, right? Whether you are fully aware of where your child is. It used to be that, you know, if your child is leaving the house, you would ask them, where are you going to be? For how long? What time are you coming home? Can you do
this? Who are you meeting?
Who are you meeting? Who are you talking to? Can you do the same thing on the internet? Can you also have those kinds of conversations about their online interactions? And is there a sense of openness and honesty around that? Because I think while I entirely agree about that difficulty in monitoring internet use, I think the other part of it is what kinds of lines of communication are open within the family as well, right? In terms of having that openness of being able to ask questions or talk about things that you might be curious about or that you find disturbing or that your friend might have shown you, you know, all these different things also enter the picture. So that's what we're talking about today. This is from an article in the Malaysian Insight. They spoke to experts suggesting that more children have been accessing pornography during the pandemic. We'd like to hear from you. Is this something that you are worried about? What can we do to address this? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Tan Cheng Yi, educational psychologist. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about concerns around children accessing pornography during the pandemic and what might be leading to this, how we can address this. We'd like to hear from you. Is this something that you are worried about and what can we do in this situation? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now, though, to talk about this is educational psychologist Tan Cheng Yi. Cheng Yi, as always, pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for having me and Happy New Year to the two of you.
Happy New Year to you as well. So like we said earlier, right, there have been reports of children as young as 7 accessing porn during the pandemic. Now, you are both a parent and a psychologist. I was wondering, you know, from both those perspectives, what is your response to this?
It's alarming. It's scary to hear. But at the same time, I don't think this is far from the truth. I think porn is something that we don't talk about. And so the reporting of it, you know, may not be very accurate, you know, how many percent of children watching and et cetera. So I think it's good to bring this topic out. I'm a bit nervous talking about it out in the public, talked about it in different contexts, but at the same time, it's good that we start this conversation and have an open discussion.
How common is this sort of behavior among children?
I think sexual curiosity, it's something that comes naturally. So we're all sexual beings. I think we have to start with that premise. And from a very young age, we've got the ability to biologically, you know, respond. And also we've got feelings and emotions associated with, you know, sex and the opposite sex or being attracted sexually. Yeah. So I would say that, you know, the report says 7-year-old, I'm totally not surprised. That's the age where children become curious and notice, you know, other people. They start interested in relationships and they also start to be curious, more curious. I would say that the curiosity is probably there from the beginning, that more curious about other people's body as opposed to their bodies. Yeah. So I'm not surprised that the age that they put is 7. And with the internet and, you know, younger and younger children going on the internet and more during the pandemic, that's given a leverage as well, isn't it, for pornography to have a field day with kids, because there's more kids are there accessing. And I don't think we actually go and look for it. It actually comes to us these days.
So, in a broad sense, why is it a cause for concern when children begin to access porn? I mean, talk to us about the impact this can have on a child.
When you're talking about children, you know, children are, they need guidance. That's why they're children, right? They need adults to guide them. And if children see things on the internet that without guidance, they are open to, this is information coming into their brains. Their impressional brains. And we know that porn is something that really is a distortion of the truth. Quite often it is. It sensationalizes sex and the human body in such a way that may not be normal. I think porn is also something that is easy, right? It makes it look like it's easy, but in real life relationship, it's not like that. So it's sending a lot of wrong messages to children, and at a young age, you desensitize them to something that their young brains may not yet be able to handle. So biologically, they may be able to respond, get aroused, yeah. But emotionally, would they be able to comprehend, you know, what the whole idea of intimacy, sex is all about? And you know, pornography is not just relationship, you know, normal relationship between men, women. There's a lot of other, what you call them, distortions, right? So it will, I mean, children exposed to it can get very confused and think that this is the normal part of life and this is how relationships are to be. So that's just one way of, you know, saying that how it harms them. And we're not just talking about children 7 years old. We're just talking about children in general, young people, right? Teenagers. And porn, you can't be right because the porn industry abuses and and also take advantage of people. And it's just, and even children, you know, there are children involved in porn. So I think we are really treading on a lot of very gray area. And when children are exposed to those things without understanding the wider implications legally, etc., it is very dangerous.
And in the long term, what kind of larger societal impact will this sort of early porn consumption end up creating?
Okay, larger societal impact. I have personally come across, in my work, people who are affected by porn. So I think from a personal, we go from personal perspective, it can cause addiction. Yeah, so from desensitization, experimentation, habituation, and then become compulsion. And we know that when a person is involved in this kind of compulsion, it affects their life. And we don't all live on our own. So if a child is affected in a compulsive way, doing something that is unhealthy, it affects their family. Yeah, so it affects the family, the family system. So, you know, parents will get involved and then there's disharmony in the family and parents will try to, you know, work their way, try to support their child, etc. And they also share this with their friends. And so when we desensitize children to think that porn is okay, and more young people are going on it. It's easy access, it's affordable, it's free, and it's also anonymous, right? So because of that, more and more young people, and so it would affect them socially, in a way that they would interact with other people. And I think emotionally, many people get involved in porn because they're vulnerable in the first place, or they have a social emotional need that may not be met. And when that happens, they turn to porn instead of other healthy, helpful way to solve their problems. That can't be right, because then it will start affecting their relationships with people around them. School, their school results will start to deteriorate, and the school and teachers will start to see this as well. So on a whole, I think we see society values, moral values going down, people, you know, relationships breaking when people find out that so-and-so that, you know, that you're in a relationship were involved in porn. People running away from problems and going to deal with the problems in more, you know, easy access way. I can go on a little bit more. I'm not sure how much time we have here.
We have enough time if you would like to finish your point. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think on the long run, children being desensitized to it and thinking that this is okay, I think it's getting to the stage where it's scary and harmful. When children come together, and there are a lot of things out there that actually encourages them. We're not just talking about people who are perhaps grooming. I think there's groomers also, because children are online, so they have got more access. But I'm just talking about even peer-to-peer children actually thinking that it's okay, that porn is okay, is actually quite cool. And so there's an extent, certain peer pressure as well. So when you get into that company that think that way, and without the background knowledge of how harmful it is, because as parents, as teachers, as adults, we have not spoken enough about this to our children, or we have been so close-minded that they can't come and speak to us about it, then I think that's where they form their own ideas about what right is and what is wrong. And if everyone is doing it, what's so wrong about it? So that's, I think, a harmful attitude that is very hard to change. And when that is coupled with their emotional needs being met, because that is giving them the gratification, and then becomes an addiction. And there's a parallel between drug addiction and porn, in the sense that there's the reinforcement from watching porn and getting the gratification from it. That is like drug. So once you get habituated and you get addicted, it's very hard. So I find some parents struggle because the children's studies deteriorate, or they're less interested in the things that they used to be interested in before, those things that are helpful, like going out to play, making friends, and interacting with their parents. So they've turned away and become more isolated, because those things are easy. When you make relationships, you know, it's difficult making friends. You know, you can hurt each other, then you have to repair the relationship, et cetera, et cetera. But porn is just easy, and you get the gratification straight away without too much hard work.
So this is something that you've emphasized, you know, from the beginning of our interview, which is that curiosity around sex and sexuality is normal. We are about to talk about how parents can talk about this. But before that, if we take a step back, what signs should parents be looking out for that their child is beginning to be more curious about sex?
Okay, I think children express this differently. So it really depends on your culture. You know, if your culture is very open and you talk to your children about it and you call your body parts, you know, by its name, I think you have that common language and that culture at home that is very open, you can speak. And you find that the children will ask you things, you know. Just give a quick example, you know, when my kids were before five, they really discovered about periods because they happened to be with me in the bathroom, and then, you know, and they see me, you know, wearing a pad, and, you know, say, oh, mommy, your nappy is red, you know, that kind of very innocent kind of comment. Yeah, so I think they, you know, when we talk about sex, we're talking about the whole, you know, the whole gamut of human production as well. It all comes into it as well. So that's the beginning of actually giving your child like simple bite sizes things to say, to tell them, okay, yeah, you know, women have periods and it's part of the reproduction. And children will just take whatever, you know, you say to them. They may not understand fully, but they will just take away something. So you do it in bite sizes throughout their lives. And it's not just a one-time conversation that you have with them. Sorry, your question was about how do we talk to them, right?
Actually, it was how do you even know that this is beginning to happen for them?
Yeah. So I was trying to give the example that it's a natural thing. And they will say things to make you know that they have noticed, you know, and they may just ask questions. But if they ask questions and you go, "Hey, don't say that," or, you know, you have this big eyes reaction to them, then they may then be reinforced the idea that, you know, it's something that we don't speak about, it's taboo, it is shameful, it's embarrassing to the parent. And children are actually very intuitive. They don't want to embarrass you ever again, so they will not talk to you about it. So that becomes difficult. So I think it's actually looking out for opportunities, and it's daily life. So please close your door, you know, there's a, you know, when you go to the toilet, simple things like that, you know, talk about what they listen to on the music they listen to, talk about the lyrics, you know, what does that mean, you know, that, that lyric, what does that line mean? So I think it's just taking an interest and forming relationship with them and getting opportunities and also listening out to what they say to him throughout their lives. Yeah, it's not just when they turn or when they reach puberty. It's something that you pick up on throughout their lives. Yeah.
Chengyi, what final thoughts would you like to leave us with?
What final thoughts? I would say that porn is here to stay. However much you want to stop it, however much, you know, you try to ignore it, it's actually here. And it's most likely your children have seen it, that they may be experimenting with it. So as parents, you need to, I guess, monitor and supervise what they're doing, not on the internet. You need to understand the digital world. It's not really such a safe place. Have dialogues with your children. Find the opportune moment. Don't just pounce on them, especially teenagers. You know, they're very suspicious. It's not so easy. Provide developmentally holistic activities, like, you know, going out, you know, forming relationship, make social connections, and address the child's needs. So children have got needs, you know, emotionally, attention, loneliness, as well as entertainment. And if they're turning to the internet for those things rather than turning to you as the parent or to the family or the social network around them, then it increases their chances of encountering things like that. Remember I said at the beginning, you don't go and find it. It comes to you because people do hunt you down, you know, when you're a kid, whether it's a boy or a girl, or you just have sometimes discover things on the internet accidentally. Yeah. And that's when oftentimes that's what I hear from parents, they accidentally discover it. It's the curiosity takes over and then they slowly get into that habit if you're not careful. If they don't have the background knowledge and your values that you've shared with them in the first place about how to avoid to tell them when they discover this, then chances are they will be shameful about it and they may actually do it in secret and you will know about it. Yeah.
Cheng Yi, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was educational psychologist Tan Cheng Yi weighing in on the fact that there was a report that suggested that more children have been accessing porn during the pandemic. We've been asking you for your thoughts. Is this something that you're worried about? What can we do to address this? Basically, we're circling back to it's important to talk to your children about this issue of sex. Let us know what you think. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages coming in, which we will get to after the 5:30 news. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.